FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's the fifth day of December 2016. Where did the year go? Hard to believe. Just days left till the new year, but it's always a good time to take a look at your financial plan, at your investments, at what you're doing, at what's working, at what's not working, and then hopefully learn from it and go on to the new year and do better. Well, the new year is going to bring in a lot of things, including a new administration, some of the benefits of which we're already seeing in terms of increased consumer confidence, just better vibes all around, I think, at least among the producers. Perhaps if you're a taker, well, hey, maybe you're not feeling so great, but the show's not for takers, so find another. Anyway, if you're thinking about planning, you're thinking about investing, Jeffrey Small's with us. He heads up an outfit by the name of Arbor Financial. You find him at arbor-financial.com, arbor-financial.com, and frequent guest on a number of Fox News and other media outlet shows. And Jeffrey, we're really thrilled to have you on the show with us.
Hey, Kerry, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me. Hey,
so, consumer confidence out of nowhere just seems to be skyrocketing. I mean, obviously, it's a relatively new phenomenon. I think it's as high as it's been in 8 years. Gee, is that a coincidence? What's your thoughts here?
Well, I think it's the Trump effect, Kerry. I think that not just in consumer land are we feeling pretty confident, but also CEOs feel more confident than ever because we've got the effect of a pro-growth president who understands business, at least on a president-elect basis.
Well, that is interesting. As long as you're not the CEO of Ford or Carrier or this other outfit down the road from Carrier, you're probably feeling pretty good, but seriously. Yeah, he is somebody who understands that the business of America is business, and you can't be constantly making it more difficult for the people producing in the form of higher taxes and higher regulations and expect a positive outcome. What's your thoughts on what he's going to realistically be able to accomplish?
Well, you know, he's not going to be the second coming of financial Moses, I can tell you that. But, I mean, he can't re-incentivize corporate America to keep jobs here. And clearly, you know, he can't act as an ultimate dictator and say, you can't move here, you can't move there. But what he can do is invoke a pride in our country, a pride in our corporations to try and serve the civilian workforce, which hasn't been around for quite some time. So there's nothing wrong with him picking up the phone and calling a CEO of a company and saying, look, you know, let's try and attune to the patriotic component of why we employ people here in this country and why we work in this country for the companies that you're employing. So that's important to maintain that kind of a posture going forward. We want to see and that's part of where the optimism is coming from, that we've got somebody that's going to fight for the country.
Hey, so what about this major drag on the economy, major drag on employment, aka the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare? Is he going to be able to get rid of it? And the fact that he's committed to keep two major aspects of it. Number one, pre-existing conditions. So if you've got cancer and you want to switch policies, you're able to do so. And number two, keeping those no good lousy kids who won't leave your house and are still living in your cellar on your policy till the age of 26. Is that going to negate any benefits of getting rid of Obamacare?
You know, there was some merit to Obamacare. The problem was that it was never realistic, and it always needed to evolve into something that could be benefit from a growing economy. You can't have that type of a healthcare subsidy in place without a growing economy. It actually becomes an impairment. And so I think what they're going to do is really right the ship. But the moral components of Obamacare that really were good were you just basically mentioned. Number one, the pre-existing condition component, and number two, being able to insure kids that are staying at home or at least in college through age 26. They need to make sure that happens, and I think it's possible for them to do that. But the reality is that the original Obamacare was going to go by the way of the dodo anyway because it was completely unrealistic.
Yeah, it's been collapsing before our very eyes, hasn't it, in terms of healthcare cooperatives? I think we were up to 17 of them, the nonprofit ones, in case you weren't aware. The Affordable Care Act established in each state the ability to set up one nonprofit healthcare cooperative, which turned out to be a major boondoggle, didn't work. And then massive premium hikes and combined with higher deductibles, higher copays, and really bad coverage. So we going to see a remedy to that?
Well, I think the remedy remains to be seen. Let's see. Let's give them a chance to craft something that works. They obviously have enough seats in the Senate to permanently revoke it. But there's going to be some negotiatings going on to get something passed because we don't have quite enough seats to complete control both ends of that legislative equation. So we'll have to wait and see what they come up with, Kerry.
Yeah. Well, they can put it through budget reconciliation. That's how it got passed. So they only need 50 votes. Presumably the vice president elect. Mike Pence will be the tiebreaker, so they can definitely get rid of it. But one thing they've been proponents of is a nationwide market for health insurance. So right now it's regulated at the state level. Every state has got all these insane requirements. Well, some are more insane than others. In New York, fertility treatments, transgender treatments, I mean, you know, you name it, sex therapy, whatever they could think of, they made it a requirement for health insurance in New York. Massachusetts, even worse. Vermont, even worse. So, and then there's all these other requirements that keep other companies from entering the state's protected market. So you think that opening up the country is one competitive market, like it is really for auto insurance, is that going to matter?
You know, it may matter. It remains to be seen if opening up the markets across state lines will be able to reduce costs and make it more competitive. It really remains to be seen if that's going to happen. We're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, and then the other thing was all of these mandates, the mandated coverages in Obamacare that were insane, like men having, you know, pregnancy coverage. I mean, this is just nonsense here and driving up the cost of it. So there were employees who worked for McDonald's, perfect example, had this bare bones coverage. It didn't really cover hospitalization, covered doctor's visits, vaccinations, physical exams, things like that. And Obamacare did away with it. You think we'll see a return of those types of policies, perhaps?
You know, I don't think it's going to be so broad across the board where you and I, if we're under the Affordable Care Act, if there's anything left of it, is we're going to be paying for somebody's gambling addiction and gambling counseling expense in Vegas. I see it being pared down really exclusively to physical health care, not necessarily mental health care. And if we're going to have to be forced to pay everybody's potential birth control or those types of issues, I don't see that happening. They're going to have to exact some of those costs out of there to reduce the cost across the board. Because right now, I have no idea really much. It doesn't cover very much anyway. I mean, you got to spend $20,000 out of pocket for it to cover anything.
Yeah. Well, as that erstwhile social commentator Michael Moore said, it doesn't even cover a blanking Percocet. So
true. Very true.
So it can't be worse. There's a failure, I think, for most of you out there to realize that most of the problems in healthcare today were created by Uncle Sam sticking his nose into the tent in the first place.
Well, I agree with that. You know, the more government gets involved, the worse things get usually.
Yeah. And this has been no exception for sure. So here's a question for you, Jeffrey. The consumer confidence is up. It went up when Obama was elected. Who knows? It might have gone up, God forbid, if Hillary got elected. Is that just a normal reaction to a presidential campaign, or is it different this time?
It's significantly different this time. And it's different this time because we kind of had a political revolution in our country that's going to end up as a financial and economic revolution, I see, coming down the pike as well. Because what we're witnessing really is kind of a global contagion of folks rising up and patriotism and nationalism of the countries that they hail from. And I think that's going to be a boom for economics as opposed to a bust. But with Hillary was in office, I think the multinationals win. Everything stays the same. The class disparity gets worse. And the citizenry loses, and they continue to lose jobs. Wages do not increase. They continue to go flat or south. But with Trump, I think there's a chance of that actually turning around.
Mm-hmm. Well, his America First policy certainly has got to lead to higher prices if the jobs really do come back to the U.S.
Well, I believe that it will, Kerry. I think that, you know, we have to regain our financial leverage that we have just really given away everything in terms of anything leverage that we can recapture. And if he recaptures the financial leverage, that's exactly what will happen.
So higher prices, but higher incomes going along with that. And we have this systemic unemployment in the country here that hasn't gone away in spite of a lowering unemployment rate, stated U1 unemployment or U3, which really is totally misleading.
You know, it really is, because we're still losing jobs regardless of how fast they create. And the Fed has developed a malaise perspective on this, where they're happy with 100,000 new jobs created a month. And we're actually losing, you know, more than 150 to 180,000 jobs a month. So that's more than what we've been creating. So that's a real problem going forward.
So here's the $64,000 question. As an investor, how do you take advantage, capitalize upon the trend that you've identified here, Jeffrey?
Well, I think you can say, Kerry, the days of buy and hold are dead. I refer to them as buy and hope. We hope the market goes up and doesn't go down. But, you know, being codependent on performance is not where folks need to be. I think if we use the last 16 years as an example, fixed income has still beaten the market the last 16 years. The market's up about 3.9% on the S&P, with about 1.7% of that going from dividends. And fixed income has averaged about 5.7%. Over that time frame. So I think being yield-centric is where folks can beat the market the next 5 to 10 years, because the markets aren't going to grow regardless of what political revolution or economic revolution we have.
Okay, so you think it's still fixed yield, but do you just go out and buy treasury debt or corporate debt, or what's your focus here?
Well, I think that you can have a multifaceted focus. If we look at fixed income components, we look for things that develop yields or dividends and rates of interest. Of course, you know, we're expecting a movement in the Fed here with guidance on December 13th and 14th, and they're definitely going to raise rates, especially since they revised GDP back up to 3.2% from 1.1, which was barely above recessionary growth. But, you know, as far as the components go, you've got bonds, medium grade, investment grade. There's preferred stocks that yield decent things that are trading close to par value today, since we've had a reset and those values are a decline or depreciation in that whole space. And then, of course, there's things in the common stock market that, you know, if you can find some diamonds inside of the space of REITs that are very stable in apartment communities or healthcare based or hospitality based, those REITs are still very strong and will perform very well, even in an undynamic, non-growing economy. And then, of course, there's BDCs too, business development corps, which are common stocks that are publicly traded that act as mid-tier banks, loan money up to small cap companies that have revenue of $500 million or less. Any one of a combination of those types of components can get you a yield of greater than 5% with pricing point stability and not a lot of fluctuation. Of course, you don't want to have a weighting of greater than 10 or 15% in the common stock components that I've mentioned, and you want to leverage more in as a percentage into the bond or preferred stock component. And we usually buy these types of things for income, Kerry. We don't buy them for growth and appreciation. So we're playing the yield game, and we're not too focused on appreciation. I think a combination are balanced, that's designed, are really tailored towards whatever your particular needs are as an investor as it relates to your situation. And it's, you know, everybody's answer is different to that equation.
Yeah. Everybody's in a different point in their life, different circumstances, and different plans for the future. So, hey, Jeffrey, appreciate your coming on. People want to find out more about you, contact you, connect with you through the internet, where's the best place to go?
All right. The best place to reach us, Kerry, is at our website. Your viewership can reach us at arbor-financial.com. That's arbor, A-R-B-O-R-financial.com. And they can see a lot of my major media clips on TV and radio. And we'll be happy to field inquiries and answer questions if they want to contact us through there.
All right.
Thank you for having me today.
Hey, it's been a pleasure, Jeff. Thank you. And as always, you will find a link to any of our guests' websites in the show notes that accompany their interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Any questions, comments, feedback, just send me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. That's kl@kerrylutz.com. Twitter feed, @KerryLutz. Jeff, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kerry. Have a great day.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.